All right, we're going to begin with a devotional before we get started with worship. Come on, come on. Tell them, show them. Say it. Say, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
I'll be reading Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Admin record of ages. Oh, thou blessed rock of ages, trusting now, dear Lord, in thee, keep me to my journeys in it, till the blessed face I see. I'm rock of ages. Storm rages, blessed rock of ages, as I'm here. When my journey is completed, and there's no more work to do, Savior, guide my weary spirit to the grand end of you.
Do that first verse again. I got you off too low. I'm gonna get you. I'm gonna get you on the right one. I got you all messed up. Oh, the blessed rock of ages. Trusting now, dear Lord, in thee. Lord, in thee I'm trusting. Wait me till the journey's ended. Journey's ended, keep me till the blessed face I see. I'm the old blessed rock of ages.
Till the blessed face I see.
appreciate you doing that devotional for us tonight. We'd like to welcome all of our visitors here. I appreciate you being here this evening and hope that you'll stay after service. Let's get to know you a little bit better. I'd like to ask you please to fill out a visitor card too, and we'll pick those up at the end of service. Please continue to remember Brian Allen, who's in Helen Keller Hospital. He needs our prayers. He's pretty low right now, so we really remember him and others. This Wednesday, December the 29th, we'll be having a singing and devotional period here in the auditorium. So no classes. Everyone will be in the auditorium this Wednesday. All ladies are invited to a baby girls shower honoring the Johnson family. This will be on Sunday, January the 9th, from 2:30 to 4 o'clock in the family room. Hostess will be shower team number 3. They're registered at Walmart and Amazon. Reminder, the church office is closed this Thursday for the holidays, New Year holiday. And men, please make note of this. Sunday, January the 9th, that's two Sundays from today, the deacons will be having a meeting at 3 o'clock, followed by a men's meeting at 4 o'clock. And this will also be our annual incorporation meeting on January the 9th. Youth group, today is your last day to sign up to go to CYC. So if you want to go, make sure you see John or Hope tonight. And last but not least, we saw something amazing this morning, and I'm so thankful that Doug and Michelle Watson are here with us tonight. If you didn't get to meet them, just raise your hands there. They're new babes in Christ, and please go by and say a kind word to them tonight if you didn't get to talk to them this morning. We'll begin our service. Number 703, if you would, please stand. I love you with the love of the Lord. I love you with the love of the Lord. I see in you the glory of my King, and I love you with the love.
Somebody has been so unkind to you. Most gracious Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne, Father, this evening worship service, the time that saints assemble together, Father, to worship you again this Lord's Day. Father, we thank you for the many blessings that you've given us, Father. We thank you for the fine sermon we had this morning, and we thank you for two new Christians, Father, that wanted to be a part of this church family that worships here at Florence Boulevard. And want to be a part of your family worldwide, Father. We thank you for Doug and Michelle Watson, Father. Just be with them and help them. Help us to encourage them from day to day, Father. And help us to help them with their needs and show them that we are a loving congregation, Father. We thank you that Brother Larry Brock and all he means for this congregation, Father, he responded this morning, confessing shortcomings, Father, and we know that you've already forgiven him, Father, but help us to be an encouragement to him and his family and to always look to you for the guidance that all of us need, Father. We all have shortcomings. We fall short from daily, Father, but we know as Christians that when we call on you, that is our way of forgiveness, Father, that we can become new again and become as the day we were baptized. Father, we ask you to be with those that are sick, especially Brian Allen, Father, and help him, Father, to be comfortable, Father, and help him, if it be your will, to regain his health, Father, where he can once again be with us here and be with his family, Father. You know the future for us all, Father. We don't, but we just know that we're all in your hands, Father, and we ask your blessings upon him. Be with us. Be with this country, Father, and the leaders of this country, that they'll realize that they can't lead without worship tonight, Father, that it may be in accordance to your will. Keep us safe and keep us well, Father, as we depart from this place. And bless those that preach here from time to time, Father, and bless them and their families so they will have many years here at Florence Boulevard in teaching and preaching your word. Be with us all, first in Christ's holy name I pray. Amen.
If you'd like to mark the song of invitation, be number 927. Now at this time we'll sing number 716. If you would please stand once again and then remain standing for the scripture reading. 716. Sing to me a carol, sing that song of peace from the toes that by me it will bring release. Burdens will be lifted that are pressing, so showers of great blessing for my heart will flow. Sing to me a heaven that be falling, dream of this father's heavenly glory.
If you're visiting with us tonight, we are grateful for your presence. We thank you for coming. For those who are online, we're certainly glad that you're able to be with us as well. Before I get into the lesson, I just want to take a moment to thank this congregation for all that you have done and continue to do at North Alabama Christian Children's Home. So many of you have helped out in so many different ways throughout this past year. Just tonight, somebody handed me a donation from home. And this congregation has been so, so helpful in so many different ways. We can't thank you enough. Our ladies always provide things for our children for their birthdays, and that really means a great deal. And so many of you help out in so many different ways. I want you to remember and maybe put down in your calendar for the new year, April 7th through 9th. That's the date for our 13th annual Coach Trail Ride and Auction. For those who are new members here, this congregation is the cog behind that wheel. There's so many people who help in so many different ways, but this congregation provides so much of the manpower on that particular occasion. Normally it's the first weekend in March. The board decided to move it back, maybe a little bit better weather, and so hopefully that's what we're planning on doing, but we'd love for you to come and be a part of that. You'll be hearing more things about it. We'll be putting up big tents out at the Coates Farm. We are looking for somebody to head up the chicken stew cooking. And so if you are a connoisseur of 130 gallons of chicken stew, we'd love to talk to you. And if you know someone who might be willing to do that, Mr. Dwight's not going to be able to do that this year. But we'll have a lot of fun and a lot of help. Some of you were part of Austin's Mighty Men that came and moved all the different furniture when we sold it at the big auction. And so we're just looking forward to a wonderful day. So many ladies come out early and help with the yard sale, raised over $6,100 that last year. And we just can't thank you enough. Continue to pray for us at the children's home. Lord willing, either tomorrow or Tuesday, we'll be taking in three new children, 14, 12, and I forgot what the other age is. But that will put us up to 12 children. And I wanted to tell you this past Thursday, and this was not anything that I had to do with in regards to that because I was taking care of my dad. But this past Thursday, the boys' home decided that they wanted to take presents that they had duplicates of and some other things that had been given to them that they might not could wear that was still new. And they wanted to go to Mayfield, Kentucky and give it to people there. And that's what they did. And I understand they loaded down the back of a van. One of the young men, the oldest one there, bought $150 of snacks, and they handed those out to people in need. And I thought that was so wonderful and so great, and they came back with a new understanding and a new appreciation because of the situation there and because of the blessings they have through you and so many others. And so I wanted to mention that to you. And again, thank you so much for your continued help and continued support. With the help of Nate, our birthday boy today, hopefully we can get through this. You've heard that phrase, if the shoe fits, wear it. And what does that often mean? Sometimes it refers to an unfortunate truth we have to accept. Or sometimes it's talking about a situation itself. But it's interesting that the Bible has a lot to say about shoes. In what Bill just read to us, John the Baptizer felt like he was unworthy even to touch the shoes, the sandals of our Lord. There's a whole book in the Old Testament, the book of Ruth, in which at the end of that book, chapters 3 and 4, you have a shoe that is handed to Boaz, the future husband of Ruth, because there was a relative that was closer to the inheritance than he was, but they were unworthy or unwilling to take on the inheritance and at the same time marry the widow Ruth. And so there was the handing of the shoe to him saying, you take the inheritance and you marry her because I'm not willing or able to do so. Over in Ephesians 6, there's an interesting story when he talks about the Christian armor that all of us are to wear as children of God, that he says that our shoes, our feet, need to be shod, prepared to carry the gospel of peace wherever we go. And so tonight I'd like for us to think about if the shoe fits. And as we think about different kind of shoes and make spiritual applications of them, I hope that you'll think about yourself and any changes toward the end of this year that you need to make, even now and in the new year. First of all, as we think about shoes, number one, am I a loafer? am I a loafer? You know, loafers are good for dress up. They used to call them penny loafers, where there's that place where you can put that penny there in the front. But they typically are not work shoes. But when we think about the word loafer, we think about someone who is a slacker, someone who wants to do as little as possible to get by. Spiritually speaking, there may be some people who have that idea in regards to the church. I want to avoid hell, but I'll be satisfied with just a little corner of Canaan land. I want to do as little as I can do, and so I don't want you to call on me for all these works and all these different things. I just want to do as little as I can to make it one day in heaven. Yet the Bible certainly does not talk about how little we need to do in order to honor and to glorify God. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 15, after he talks about the greatness of the resurrection and that wonderful immortality that's going to be ours when we get to live with God in heaven, he says in verse 58, therefore, in lieu of all that, my beloved brethren, you be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Throughout the Bible, there are ideas that our Lord presents that suggest the idea that we are to be prepared, that we are here for the purpose of honoring and glorifying Him by the work that we do, not by allowing someone else to do it. In Matthew chapter 25, there is that whole chapter of preparation. He talks about, first of all, 10 virgins that were there for the purpose of bringing in the bridegroom and his entourage for the wedding. 5 of them, the Bible says, were wise. They knew that it might be a while before he got there, and so they had more than enough oil for their lamps. 5 of them were foolish. They knew what they were supposed to do. They even knew that the bridegroom was late to his wedding. He was tarrying. And yet, they fell asleep just like the others. Finally, when the call comes that the bridegroom is coming at midnight, they all turn on their lamps, but the 5 has theirs to run out. They knew what they needed to do, but they were slack. They were loafing, if you will, in the responsibility that they had. Finally, when they went and got oil and they came back, the master said, I don't recognize you for who you are. Then he talks about the story of a master going away into a far country. And he leaves behind talents, seemingly amounts of money to 3 different servants. 1 5 talents, the other 2 talents, the other 1. With the idea that he's going to come back and they're to give an account of what they did with that while he was gone. You may recall that the 5 and 2 talent men were blessed. They had doubled theirs. He says, you've been faithful in a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joys of thy Lord. But then the 1 talent man comes, and he admits, Lord, I was scared. I was afraid of you. I was afraid of what to do, and so I just went and dug a hole and put it in the earth. It's interesting that in that context, someone who knew to do what needed to be done, that was going to be held accountable for what he was to have done. Some of the toughest words in all the Bible are found in verse 30. Cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then the 3rd story is about that great roundup, that day of judgment when we all will stand before Christ. And he talks about those that are blessed as Father, that they can inherit the kingdom profound from the foundation of the world, because he says, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you came unto me. I was in prison and you visited me. And the Lord said, as much as you did unto others, you've done it unto us. The good that they knew to do, they did. And so a loafer wants others to do the work that he needs to do. Doesn't want to volunteer. It's sort of like a hitchhiker, someone has said. A hitchhiker will put his thumb out and he wants you to furnish the gas and the oil. He wants you to furnish the vehicle, attend to the repairs, supply the insurance, and they're going to ride with you. But if you have an accident, they're going to sue you for all they can. Spiritually speaking, a loafer in the church could say, you provide the building, you provide the preacher, you provide the lights, the heat, all the educational materials, and I'll come and worship with you. But don't count on me to furnish food for someone in need, or help in the lives of others, or attend fellowship meals. If something happens that I don't like, or the preacher preaches too long, I'm going to grumble and complain and take my $10 somewhere else. We don't want to be a loafer, do we? But secondly, am I a slipper? Am I a slipper? A slipper might go on pretty easy in regards to your foot. But spiritually speaking, a slipper is someone that slips into worship the very last second and then slips out as quickly as possible. He wants quick and easy services so he doesn't have to be called upon to do anything. You see, they want something that involves very little effort. The problem is the attitude doesn't sit well with the teachings of God's Word. It says a great deal about their attitude when they're always early or on time for work. Or they go to a ball game and get there an hour and a half or 2 hours, and even if it goes in overtime, that makes it that much better. But then, as little church as they can get is good enough for them. Certainly that's not the attitude that is found in the teaching of God's Word. And the sad fact is that the acorn, as the old saying goes, doesn't fall too far from the tree. In 30 years of full-time ministry, before I began to work at the children's home, I saw this over and over and over again. That when there is that attitude of indifference, and that attitude of, I want to get in and get out as quickly as possible, even if I'm late, that attitude, that example, is often seen in their children in years to come. What mom and dad showed by their insincerity or their thoughts about the church, if we're going to get a little bit as possible, was transferred to them. And oftentimes, more than not, sadly, they would either quit the church or they would fall in that same category. We don't need to be a slipper. But then thirdly, am I a flip-flop? Now, from a doctor's point of view, a podiatrist's point of view, you got to be careful about these. You see, there's no kind of support to them. And not only that, they can often get slick. A lot of people have broken their ankles with flip-flops. So I'm just telling you, be careful about them from that point of view. But spiritually speaking, a flip-flop is someone who is faithful for a short period of time, but then they become unfaithful. Jesus talked about this in the parable of the souls in Matthew chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. He says that he that hears and receives the word in stony places, the same as he that hears the word and immediately with joy receives it. Yet he doesn't have root in himself, but he endures only for a while. When tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he's offended. So many times people don't gather roots. The Bible talks about in 1 Peter chapter 2 that we need to desire earnestly that sincere milk of the word so that we might grow as Christians. That evil that has been taken out of us through the blood of Christ and baptism, as was witnessed this morning, will easily return unless we replace it with something that is good, something that is found upon God's word. Luke chapter 11, verse 25, he talks about someone that cleans his house, but then doesn't put anything into it. And so the spirits come back and they take it over. And the latter end is worse than the first because they had taken out the bad, but they hadn't replaced it with the good. Peter describes this process in graphic terms in 2 Peter 2, verses 20 through 22. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. It had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it's happened again according to the true proverb. The dog has turned his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed and wallowed in the mire. Our Lord is saying, it's wonderful when a person becomes a child of God and turns away and renounces that evil that has been a part of their life. But if they don't grow, if they don't mature, if they don't continue to try to study and learn more about God's way, Satan's aware of where they are. And he wants them back. And he's going to throw every temptation and every trial their way with the hope of getting them to go back to that way of life that he wants them to have. And sadly, that makes it even harder because you knew what you had as a child of God, and yet you intentionally go back to that evil way of life. He said it'd be better never to have known it. Then, after had known it, to turn back from the holy commandments. We don't need to be a flip-flop. Fourthly, am I a high heel? And I didn't look at anybody's feet tonight. So you may have high heels on, and that's wonderful. We're not talking about literal high heels. Ladies, if you can walk in them, wonderful. But spiritually speaking, we don't need high heels in the Lord's church. A person who's a high heel is a person who acts haughty and too proud. They think they're better than others because of their position or because of their money or because of their influence. And the end result is that they put off an air that is not consistent with the teaching of God's word. In fact, in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, he put it this way, "For I say that the grace given to me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has given to every man that measure of faith." Over in James chapter 2, he talks about the idea of welcoming the rich and giving them the best seats in the house, but the poor have to sit somewhere way off. And he says, that's wrong. Galatians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul, through the mind of God, called Peter on the carpet, if you will, because of the hypocrisy that he was creating. He was saying, Peter, when your Jewish friends from Jerusalem are not present, you hidey duty the Gentiles. You sit with them. You eat with them. You fellowship them. But when your Jewish friends come down, you don't have anything to do with those Gentiles. He was being too proud and hypocritical, and God had to show him otherwise. The Bible talks about those who have that proud look. In Proverbs 6, verses 17 through 19, when he talks about those seven things that are an abomination to God, that God hates, the number one thing is a proud look. The psalmist says in Psalm 101, verse 5, "Whosoever slanders his neighbor, him will I cut off. He that has a high look and a proud heart will I not allow." We don't need to be high heels in regards to the way we think about others. We need to make sure that everyone feels comfortable coming to worship here at Florence Boulevard, that they fit in with us here. We don't need to be a high heel. Number five, am I an overshoe? Now, there's times to wear an overshoe. When the weather gets rough, when there's ice on the ground, you need to make sure that you have the right shoes. Because if you don't, you're going to end up on your face or other things. An overshoe in the church is a person who acts religious only when the going gets tough. Only when bad things are happening or they real conscientious in their desire to follow Christ. But other times, they just seek to be convenient and they don't see the need to be consistent in their teachings and thoughts concerning God's way. An overshoe Christian is like the King Rehoboam in the Old Testament. The The Bible says about him, and it came to pass when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself, he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him. 2 Chronicles 12, verse 1. As long as he needed God, as long as the enemies were nearby, he called on God. He sang glory, hallelujah. He called on God and prayed to God. Once he got established, he didn't think that he needed that anymore. Christianity isn't a one-day, a week religion. It's every day. We have to show it by the life that we live. Jesus said in Luke 9, verse 62, no man, having put his hand to the plow and then looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Later on in Matthew 16, verse 24, he'd say to his disciples, then and now, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So we don't need to be overshoes in regards to the church. Next, am I a house shoe? You know, house shoes are worn for comfort and ease. Maybe after a long day of work or later on in the day, you may take off your shoes that you normally wear to church and you're going to put your house shoes on. That's one thing. But a house shoe in regards to the church is those folks that don't want to get involved in anything, but just be status quo. Come to church, check it off, but not get involved in anything else. Visitation groups, work meetings, extracurricular church events. No, I don't have time for that, and I don't want that. A house shoe is happy with the church the way it is. There's no need to grow, no need to change, no need to stretch ourselves spiritually. Let's keep on doing what we've always done, and that's good enough for me. Over in Amos 6, verse 1, there were some people in that day that had that idea. Woe to them, he says, that are at ease in Zion, Jerusalem, and trust the mountain of Samaria, their named chief of the nations to whom the house of Israel came. They were at ease. They didn't see the need to be committed. They didn't see the need to keep on working for the cause of God. They thought everything was good, status quo, and they just wanted to keep it that way. We don't need to be a house shoe. And then the question is, am I a Sunday shoe? Now, I date myself in this, but I remember, and some of you perhaps were the same task that my brother and I had, but every Saturday afternoon, we would take the newspaper, put it out in front of the TV or the radio if we were listening to a football game, and our obligation was to polish the shoes that we'd be worn the next day. Anybody else do that? Am I the only? Yeah, I see some hands. Yeah, that was something that I had to do. If I wanted to go out and play later on, that had to be done. Just like taking the garbage out and doing your chores. That was one of them. But your Sunday shoes. I don't know if we have Sunday shoes like that necessarily now. But the Sunday shoe Christian comes in looking all impressive and dressed. The first day of the week, at least that morning, is sacred and holy. But that's it. No need to come on Sunday nights. No need to come on Wednesday nights. That interferes with family time and other commitments. We need to wear our Sunday shoes every time we come to worship. We need to do so regularly. You see, a true Christian realizes that all services are important. Study the book of Hebrews. Look at what God had to say to elders of the church. I was thinking about this afternoon. I don't recall a prayer that has been prayed from this podium or that podium in which a man has not said something about thanking God for the elders of our church and praying that they will continue to lead and direct us in the way that we should go. And that's true. But they have scripture from God's voice himself that says that on the day of judgment, besides just what they have done in their own lives, and the lives of their wife, and the lives of their children, that they're also going to be held accountable for the way they conducted the work of this congregation, that God's going to hold every soul in this congregation under their name in regards to how they led them spiritually, how they led them morally, how they led them in the way that they needed to go. We thank God for their leadership. Can't we then pray for our fellowship? They see the need, and rightly so, for us to come together on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights and to learn more from God's Word to help re-energize our lives. Do you realize that experts have said that there are more arguments on Wednesday than any other day of the week? What a better way to help offset that than to come to church and to learn through Bible classes how I can be a better husband, or how you can be a better teenager, or whatever the case may be. And so Sunday's shoes aren't just for Sunday, and we need to keep on keeping on. The Hebrew writer put it this way in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. How do we do that? By learning more about God's Word. How do we do that? Through private and public study, i.e. Sunday nights and Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings. Let us consider one another to provoke into love and to good works. How can I learn about a situation in your life unless I'm not here? And I can't learn about the problems that you're having and the things that I or that you can do to help me. Sunday nights and Wednesday nights allow us to do that. Not for safety, verse 25, the assembling of ourselves together. As a matter of some is, but exhorting one another and so much the more. Encouraging one another and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We don't just need to wear those Sunday shoes on Sunday morning only. Finally, all of us would do good to have work shoes. To be a work shoe in the Lord's church. It may be a little dirty. It may not be necessarily polished. But it's involved in the work of the Lord on a regular basis. Those people see the need to wear Christ every day in their life. Inside and outside of this building. Jesus said in John chapter 9 verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day. The night is coming when no man can work. Think about all the many works that each of us can be a part of. It takes people to man the doors on a regular basis, to fix or put out the communion, to clean the building, to help take care of the needs of those less fortunate. Their showers and fellowships, the Sunday night gatherings after services, people that stop and write cards to let people know that you're thinking about them. Some of you in this audience did that for my father this past week. Dad received 150-plus cards for his 92nd birthday and for Christmas, and that meant so, so very much to him as well as to us. And we thank you for those who did that. Titus chapter 3, verse 1 says, we need to be ready to every good work. There's sewing projects, Bible classes being taught, World Bible School, all kinds of things, and youth events, all kinds of opportunities that we can put our work shoes on and be a part of it. How wonderful it is for us to be able to do that and to be known as children of God. This past year, we had a grief class that met over in the fellowship building the last quarter. And one night when we were talking, someone in that class, we had several there who were widows or widowers, and someone in that class mentioned that when their loved one was sick and in the process of ultimately passing away, that there were people from their church that came and regularly came to visit them. And they mentioned two people in particular and how important it was. And they said that one of them came so consistently, came so regularly, that the family could tell by the sound of the soles of his shoes who it was that was coming. That impressed me. Ronnie, I thought to myself, I'd like to have shoes like that to be able to help people like that in time of need. Tonight, I'm asking you, if your shoes could talk, what would they say? Where do your shoes go, and what things do you with your hands and feet do for the cause of Christ? In Galatians 6, verses 9 and 10, he says, if we have therefore opportunity, let's do good unto all men, especially those who are the household of faith. Verse 9, let's not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We begin tonight with that statement, if the shoe fits, wear it. Tonight, as you look at your life, are there some things that you can improve on or some things that you can do better? This is the last sermon of the year in regards to preaching on a Sunday night. Perhaps as you take an analysis of your life, maybe there's a need for you to correct some things tonight. Let your brethren know about things in your life as you begin anew to be the child of God that you need to be. Or what better gift could you ever receive than the gift of salvation as you come to Jesus tonight, believing in him as God's Son, turning from the sins of your life, confessing Jesus as God's Son, and then being baptized for the forgiveness of sins. We sing this song to invite you to come right now as we stand and sing.
Mighty Jesus, waiting in the cold, he will lay gently to his soul. See him so.
Praises unto God and encourage one another in song. So hope you'll be here come Wednesday. Again, Doug and Michelle Watson, get an opportunity to say a word to them that's recently baptized. Good day today. Hope everyone has a good evening. And again, Lord willing, be back Wednesday. Those who would like to or need to partake of the Lord's Supper, if you would, be dismissed in the room in behind the auditorium. You can be excused at this time. Number 587. 587. We'll sing all the verses of 587.
If the skies above you are gray, your days are blue. If your cares and burdens seem great all the whole day through, there's a silver light that shines in the heavenly land. Look ahead and see, my friend, trust his promises grand. Sing and be happy, Christ's gone to the whole trust.
Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your son. We ask this prayer in his name.